Amen. Psalm 134. Psalm 134. A song of ascents. You'll be surprised to learn. Not after all these weeks, you're not. Psalm 134. And this is God's word. Praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Amen. I've never worked night shift. Not entirely sure that I'd actually manage it somehow or other, although I guess you probably get the strength to do it when it comes around. But Morag used to work nights when we were down in Livingston, when I started studying as well. And often people refer to it as the graveyard shift. And it can be lonely during the night. And yet during the night, Morag would have the radio full blast and she'd be singing along and get caught out when somebody else came in to the records department and caught her unawares, or she'd have her own music on and listening to the Christian tunes. Many a time we've travelled through the night to go on holiday and been a cheapskate going for the cheap flights that went late at night or early in the morning, and you, instead of booking a hotel, you just drove through the night to get there. And to keep awake, what would you do? You'd have the radio full blast, the CD on, listening to your tunes and singing along. And I guess if you've ever worked a night shift, or if you've ever traveled through the night, you might just appreciate Psalm 134 a little bit. God never slumbers, nor does he sleep. Therefore, we can serve and praise him any time of the day or night. The psalmist says that there were priests who prayed and praised God in his temple during the night. There was a constant repetition of praise and prayer from the temple. You might remember, of course, something of Jesus' life and his witness. In Mark chapter 11, Palm Sunday, Jesus journeyed into Jerusalem and he headed for the temple, even though time was marching on by this stage. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 11, we read that Jesus entered Jerusalem and he went to the temple and he looked around at everything inside the temple. But since it was already late, he went on to Bethany with the 12. At the end of his day's journey, he wanted to be in the temple even though it was nighttime. And the business of the day might have been over, but the temple was still open for worship. There were always worship going on in the temple. And that's what we find in Psalm 134. Psalm 134 is an evening psalm. It brings us into the temple at night when the priests and Levites are still offering up praise and worship to the Lord. It reminds us that every day we are on a journey with God. And that's according to Psalm 113, verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And if you think of the sun rising and then setting, it's almost like a 24-hour cycle around our globe, isn't it? Praise to God. As we come to the end of our songs for the journey, we find a cry of praise. The Psalms of Ascent began in Psalm 120, when our pilgrim is leaving on his journey. We've traveled week by week, psalm after psalm, and now here in Psalm 134, the pilgrims together have arrived in Jerusalem. And you can almost picture it in your minds, I guess. It's late in the day, and we just have to visit the temple before settling down for the night. And we can't rest until we pay at least a quick visit to the house of God, which after all is the reason we've made this arduous journey to Jerusalem. And the sun is low, and the shadows are long, and the night air is brisk, and we're tired from the journey. And as we approach the temple, we see the evening shift of priestly workers arriving to care for the house of God during the night hours. They've rested some during the day, and now as the sun goes down, they are going to work. All night long, they'll guard the holy places. They will lead in evening worship. They will pray through the night watches and keep the lamps burning. And as we, the pilgrims, have made that journey, as we see them entering the temple, we are filled with excitement and with praise. And we shout something in their direction. And we offer a shout of encouragement. And we shout out, "Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." And those servants that are in the temple turn round and they look back at us pilgrims who have arrived and are tired but excited. And they return the greetings with the words of verse 3. And they say, "The Lord who made heaven and earth, may he bless you from Zion." Now, there are various ideas put forward by the commentators as to what's going on in this psalm. But that's one of those ideas, that this song seems to be one that would be sung to the priests and to the Levites who had the duty of watching over the temple. And as I suggested there, the pilgrims have arrived and they're shouting their encouragement before the priests then shout back and respond with a blessing on those pilgrims. One of the other suggestions, of course, is that these are words the priests in the temple would shout out to those pilgrims entering the city, reminding them that they too are servants of the Lord and could join in praise of God all day long, and now even during these night hours as they have arrived. Still others would suggest that these words are a song that the priests would encourage one another with during a long night of service when it's a lot quieter and more lonely. And so I give you three options there. And which one is it? Well, it could be any one of the three. And actually, it could be all of the three. What I do know is that we see a people blessing God and then God blessing his people. We have a wonderful reminder that when we come to worship the Lord and bless him, do you know what happens? The Lord blesses us. Isn't that incredible? We bring glory to God and he in turn honors and blesses his people. That is amazing. How many times have you come to, how many times have you left a praise service more blessed than the moment you came in? You came to offer God your all and praise and worship, and he has filled your heart and he sent you on your way glad to have been here. One other quick note before we get right into the text proper and see a cry of praise. Notice the threefold repetition of that word bless. If you're reading the King James or the ESV, that repetition should be obvious. But if you're using the NIV, then the first couple of times it's mentioned, it's translated as praise. But actually the Hebrew word each time is the word barak, which means to bless. So in verse 1 and verse 2, the Lord's people are bringing their blessing to the Lord, while in verse 3 we see the Lord blessing his people. Or to put it another way for you, the first couple of verses we see the Lord as the object of our blessing, and then in verse 3 he is the subject of the source even of our blessing. We begin in verse 1 by recognizing that we come to praise and worship and bless a God who never sleeps. Let this be an encouragement to you. A God who never sleeps. Praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Why are there servants in the temple at night? Well, under the direction of the high priest, the temple priest and the Levites were responsible to make sure that everything was in order for the next day's ministry. They also had to check the building to see that nothing dangerous or defiling had gotten past the gatekeepers and was hidden in the sacred precincts. During Passover in particular, the ovens, for example, had to be kept going all night in order for the showbread to be placed in the appropriate setting in the temple in the morning. More than that, there was a choir that sang through the night, singing the praises of Yahweh. And in case you think I make most of that up, I say to you this morning, always check everything in Scripture. Well, jiggle your way back to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles 23, just so that you make sure it's all here and I'm not talking rubbish. This is God's word. 1 Chronicles 23 and 28. The duty of the Levites was to help Aaron's descendants in the service of the temple of the Lord, to be in charge of the courtyards, the side rooms, the purification of all sacred things, and the performance of other duties at the house of God. They were in charge of the bread set out on the table, the flour for the grain offerings, the unleavened wafers, the baking and the mixing, and all measurements of quantity and size. They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening. See, look after the temple. Bring praise to God. Go back a little bit further to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. And 1 Chronicles 9 and 33, it says, those who were musicians, heads of Levite families, they stayed in the rooms of the temple and were exempt from other duties because they were responsible for the work day and night. There was always activity in the temple. And particularly, there was always praise being offered in the temple. The Levites were offering praise and thanks to God all through the day and all through the night. And we might ask the question, why? And of course, we remember Psalm 121 earlier in our journey on the way to Jerusalem, didn't we? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God does not sleep. We remember that we worship the God who made the heavens and the earth, who made the evening and who made the morning, who made the night and who made the day. Psalm 134 ends the Psalms of ascent. But it leads into a different set of psalms that become psalms of praise to God. And in Psalm 139, verse 11, we're reminded that darkness and light are both alike to God. We worship a God who never sleeps. A few weeks back, we looked at Psalm 127 and remembered that he grants sleep to those he loves. And that was a great thought. We don't need to count sheep. Instead, we can talk to the Shepherd. Wonderful thought, isn't it? But I'm well aware that from time to time we can't sleep. Things are on our minds. We are anxious about something. We've had too much coffee, perhaps, or we're awake and we seek things to do to amuse us and to make us feel a little bit more tired. Instead of turning on social media, instead of checking your emails, instead of looking at videos on YouTube or turning on the rubbish that is on TV during the night, let's pick up our Bibles and read them. Some of our greatest moments of prayer, some of our greatest insights into the Word of God come in the middle of the night when sleep eludes us. And if you doubt me, just think in some of those great encounters, some of those folks who had encounters with God during the night. It was at night that Jacob wrestled with the angel until the break of day. It was at night that the Christmas angels appeared to the shepherds of Bethlehem who were keeping that graveyard shift all of their own. It was at night that a man called Nicodemus came to Jesus seeking answers to life's great questions. It was at night that Jesus found the disciples straining at the oars on that storm-tossed sea. It was at night that Paul and Silas were singing praises to God in the Philippian jail. Wonderful. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once holidayed at an isolated spot in England because he had been told that many nightingales lived there. To his great disappointment, however, it started to rain just as he arrived at the hotel. The weather turned unseasonably cold, and Spurgeon feared that the primary purpose of his trip might be spoiled. But as he sat down at his open window, he suddenly heard a delightful melody. A nightingale perched on a branch outside. The only light was a dim light burning at the entrance to the hotel. But that nightingale, oblivious to the rain, oblivious to the cold, was exulting in that tiny bit of light. And Spurgeon wrote of that experience these words. He says, I do not expect to listen to anything so sweet and thrilling again until I hear the angels sing in glory. The God of that nightingale is the same loving Savior I serve. In spite of darkness, storms, or thorns, He always provides some ray of light and gives a song in the night. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 42 verse 8 says, by day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Friends, we worship a God who never sleeps. He is always with us. He watches over us constantly. He is always available for us to talk to at any time. And so we should be able to bring our praise to Him night and day. And you know, that is one of the reasons why I still love an evening service. I can bookend my day of praise to Almighty God, to the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Wonderful reasons. God is the object of our blessing. We're reminded throughout of what it is we bring to Him as well. We bring our praise, we bless Him, a God who never sleeps, now a worship that never ends. A worship that never ends. Verse 1 and 2, praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Visitors, when they come to church services, are sometimes prone to ask the question, when does the worship service end? You'd probably answer, depends how long Hamish goes on this morning or this evening. But if you ask that question of the priests in the temple, their answer would be never. The worship never ends. David, as we've seen in those passages in 1 Chronicles, arranged that the temple choirs praise the Lord day and night. And while you and I are asleep in Stirling tonight, somewhere else on the globe, believers are praising God. They are worshiping God. Even more than that, our high priest in heaven intercedes for us and enables us to pray and to worship at any time. Some people find it difficult to stay awake and alert during an hour's church service. What would they do if the Lord commanded them to praise Him all night long? Back to Spurgeon again. Any man can sing in the day, but he is a skillful singer who can sing when there is not a ray of light by which to read, who sings from his heart. God gives us a song in the night to sing. Our praise of Him is unending. In fact, we will praise Him on into eternity and beyond, won't we? In heaven, we'll be singing His praise around the throne like the heavenly creatures that we read of in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was and is to come. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Notice a few things here. Everyone is to praise and bless God. Even though this instruction was initially given to those ministering in the temple, it really is an instruction for all of us. As believers today, we are all servants of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. As believers, we're all called to praise God. As believers in Christ, we're all priests in God's kingdom. We're all to declare His praises. All God's people should praise Him. When should we praise Him? Well, it tells us there all day long, all the time. The psalmist here speaks of the servants in the temple praising God in the night. And that's perhaps unusual for you and for me because we tend to praise Him during the day. But we can sing His praise right through the night. Of course, as we saw in Chronicles, the servants worshiped God day and night. They were excused other duties so they could concentrate on that one great task of praising God. Boy, heaven's going to be a great place, isn't it? When we get to concentrate all of our efforts, all of the time, on praising God. But we can do that now. We don't have to limit ourselves to Sunday services, to our little daily quiet times. We can praise God all day through. We can thank him for a new day, for life and for breath. We can thank him for the coffee break we're having. We can praise him for his creation all around us. We can praise him for leading and guiding us in that meeting. We can praise him for the encouragements of the day as we go through. We can thank him for family and for friends. And so it goes on and on and on. How many reasons do we have to bless the Lord? We're going to sing it at the end, 10,000, but actually a whole lot more than that. We're then given a little bit of an instruction about posture next, though. A how to praise and worship God. It says, lift up your hands. But actually, there's already a word and posture in there that you and I have missed already. It's the word bless. Because the word bless literally means to kneel. It carries that idea of reverence and of respect, of humility, of humbly coming before the Lord, of kneeling in his presence and of lifting our hands in praise. Of course, throughout the scriptures, the lifting of hands is to do with prayer. It's a posture of prayer. In our day, we often like to sit with our heads bowed and our hands clasped. Let me ask you if anybody can find that in the Bible for me. I suspect you can't. If you go to prayer in the Bible, you're either kneeling or you're lying prostrate or you're standing or your hands are lifted. Those are what's described in the Bible when it comes to prayer. But the key, of course, is to be reverent. We sit like we do because we are reverently coming before a holy God. Of course, we can lift our hands in praise as well. Some people like to show their praise of God with their hands raised, others don't. It's biblical, so there's no problem with it as long as it's done for the right reasons and not to say, hey, look at me praising God, because then there's a wee bit of a wrong problem there. But if you're just lost in wonder, love, and praise, and your hands are lifted, then that is a very biblical way of praising God. The call here is for us to bless God all day long, all night, to bless him always. We're to do it humbly. We're to do it reverently. We're to do it sincerely. We're going to praise God for all of eternity. So actually, we maybe better learn how to bless him always now. A worship that never ends, to a God that never sleeps. And then thirdly and lastly, just see in verse 3, a blessing that never stops. A blessing that never stops. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Remember, some folks think this is a bit of a call and a response psalm with a call from the pilgrims to the Levites to keep going in their praise. And the response from the Levites of a blessing on the pilgrim. How appropriate this psalm is, and indeed the whole psalms of ascent, that they end now with us blessing God here. But listen, it doesn't end with us blessing God. It ends with God blessing us. Isn't that an incredible thought for us? It's God's blessing that makes our blessing possible. In the first place, it's God's grace that allows us to draw near to him and to his presence. It's God's love that draws us to him. Isn't that a great thought? And interestingly, the you there in verse 3, the you is singular. In other words, the blessing of this verse applies individually to each person who is trusting in Christ as their Savior. It's also singular. That word you, and the great priestly prayer in number 6. Do you remember that one? The Lord bless you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. It's very singular, it's very individual. To leave God's house with God's blessing is a great privilege, but actually it's also a great responsibility, for we must share that blessing with others. If it's a joy to receive a blessing, it's an even greater joy to be a blessing. We need to realize too that we cannot, as we come to bless the Lord, we're going to be out blessed by him. We will not be able to bless him as much as he is going to bless us, because after all, he's the one that made and fills the heavens and the earth. We can't bring as much as he brings to bless us. That's why Samuel Rutherford, the great godly man of years ago, said, I never run an errand to the throne of grace when I do not fetch back a blessing for myself. I never run an errand to the throne of grace when I do not fetch back a blessing for myself. I never go to intercede for somebody, for something, and God does not bless me more than I'm seeking to bless God and someone else. An incredible thing. If we come to bless the Lord, we are going to be outblessed. He will bless us more than we can possibly bless His name. That is just, I find that just an incredible thought. We're reminded once more of who it is we're praising in there as well. The Maker of heaven and earth. He is your Creator, the Creator of all things. We worship a mighty God, a powerful God, a creative God. We worship one who not only made the world and everything in it, but who sustains the world. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He provides us with our daily bread. He is the water of life. Those who drink from His well will never thirst again. He meets all of our needs. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us life in all of its fullness. He blesses us with salvation. He leads us towards eternity. We have been blessed, Paul says in Ephesians, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, a blessing that never stops. And just lastly, to confirm that, notice that we're told that He blesses us from Zion. Zion represents Mount Zion, which represents Jerusalem, which represents the temple, which represents the place where God's people come and meet with Him, where God meets with His people. He is here with us today. Ultimately, though, Zion represents heaven, where we will be with our God and His people forevermore. As a thing to look forward to and to behold. Friends, the pilgrims have reached the end of their journey. This is their final song for the journey, the final psalm of ascent. It's a cry of praise. They set out to reach the city and to reach the temple so that they could praise God at one of the great feasts. They sang those songs along the way to remind themselves of their great God. A God who heard their cries of distress and answered them. A God who is their help always. A God who can be trusted and worshipped and adored. And we too are led to praise God and to bless His name forever. As we make our way through the journey of life, as we make our way through life heading towards the heavenly Zion, may we sing our own songs for the journey. May we cry out in our struggles and be led through them to great rejoicing in God our Savior. May they be songs of praise for who God is, for all He has done, is doing, and will do. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And may the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these weeks we've spent in these wonderful psalms. We thank you for all that they have taught us about trusting in you no matter what goes on in life.